Lisa Davis, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. According to Pet Product News, holistic pet food sales reached over $15 billion in 2008, and when prepared properly, it can improve a dog's health, behavior, longevity, and temperament. Park Povaromo is founder and owner of Thomaston Feed, a holistic pet food store in Thomaston, Connecticut, and author of the new book, To Your Dog's Health, recently seen on Fox's CT's Morning Show and Better CT. Also joining us are Neil Riley and Norman Levis, the creators of Wagathas, a company dedicated to celebrating the relationship of people and their four-legged friends. They have created Wagathas Gourmet Organic Dog Treats. Their gourmet dog treats are 100% certified organic, human-grade, and lovingly made in the beautiful state of Vermont. Mark, Neil, and Norman, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Good morning, Lisa.
Thank you.
Good morning. Now, Mark, I wanted to start with you. I really enjoyed your book, and I'm definitely going to be making some changes to my dogs, Bobo and Bailey's, diets. And it made me really excited to change up, you know, the food and see what's going on. So, Mark, if you can tell us a little bit about how you got involved in this, I guess, this industry.
Well, sure. Very, very interesting genesis, Lisa. Back in 1988, I was awarded Connecticut Science Teacher of the Year, and they flew me out to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, where I studied elk, antelope, coyotes, you name it, everything, grizzly bears. It was an awesome experience. And it was there I got hooked, if you will, on the nutrition end of animals, or, of course, in regards to wild animals. So I just started brainstorming, and I said, you know what? I am so tired of feeding my dog this cereal inside of a bag. Mm-hmm. There's got to be some better companies out there. There's got to be some better way to feed animals. So when I got back, I said, you know what? First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to look for a little store, and I'm going to go totally natural as much as I could for the time, of course. And I found this little location in this small town of Thomaston, and the rest, as we say, is history. Here I am.
Oh, that's great. Now, Norman and Neil, how about you two? Tell us about how you started Wagathas.
Well, the Wagathas actually began about 30-some-odd years ago, back in the mid-70s. My wife and I started experimenting baking dog biscuits because we had tons of friends and family that had dogs, and we were in college, and we, you know, were trying to figure out, well, what do you get for people for Christmas gifts and whatnot, and we had no money. So we thought, let's make some dog biscuits. And I was a dog owner when I was a kid, and, you know, it just seemed to kind of be the right thing. And we hit on something that was pretty unique and special, and the dogs love them. And, you know, 30-odd years later, here we are with a company, and I'll let, you know, Neil can fill in the rest for you.
Well, yeah. So Norman, our daughters, Norman and my daughters, attended school together, and we were friends, and he had approached me in about 2005 with the idea for this company that he'd been seeding for 30 years. He had been a chef, culinary educator. He had owned a great restaurant here in Manchester, Vermont, and he finally wanted to sort of act on this desire to create this dog company that he had thought about for 30 years. So he approached me, and I had been a commodities trader in New York. I had moved to Vermont in 1999. And so I was commuting back and forth from Vermont to New York. And so I was looking for an opportunity. And when Norm told me about this company and his passion and his vision, and, you know, when you seed something for 30 years, you've really put a lot of thought and energy into it. So I could tell just from his enthusiasm that this had a real chance to become something. And so that we put it together. I was sort of the finance end of things, and Norm was sort of the creative and the nutritional end of things. And it's been a fantastic ride. We've been together now. We just started our fourth year, and Wagathas is going strong with 7 different flavors of biscuits now and more coming, and very excited about where the company is headed.
That is fantastic. Now, I mentioned in the introduction that they're human grade. And I don't, you know, the way I found out about you guys, actually, well, number one, I saw your biscuits at Whole Foods, and I really liked the illustration, and so I grabbed them. And I liked the ingredients, of course. And then my daughter was saying, oh, can I have one? I was like, oh, no, there's a dog biscuits. And then I read the ingredients. I'm like, wait a second. These things like something people can eat. So I called up, and Neil, I spoke with you. And turns out that people can eat them, and they're really good. My husband came home from work, and my daughter's eating dog biscuits. He's like, what is going on around here?
Well, it's very funny, but when we first our first biscuits came off the line, it was right around the holidays, and we had gone to Neil's house for Christmas, and for dessert there was a platter of cookies, and there were Wagatha biscuits on the platter, and I was really surprised at how quickly they went.
Yeah, they're delicious. They really are.
Well, you know.
I think my dogs love them too, but sometimes they get confused because my daughter will be eating them and they'll be like looking at her like, what are you doing? You know, you get enough food. Those
right.
are ours. You know, put them down and walk away.
Well, you know, they are all organic. They're all human grade. We're not only human grade ingredients, but we're a licensed human grade bakery here in Vermont. And I have a buddy who is a stockbroker in New York who orders our breakfast biscuits by the 10-pound bulk box for his office. They eat them with their coffee in the morning. So it's a fantastic product.
Yeah, they're really healthy.
Every morning.
What's that?
I do that every morning, Neil. Absolutely. breakfast blend with my coffee, out of this world.
I appreciate
it. Well, this
that.
Is good. People are going to love this. Now, Mark, you know, in your book, To Your Dog's Health, you write, quote, no food made today is right for all dogs. So how do you know what is best for your dog?
Well, you know, Lisa, there's over 200 brands of dog food out there.
Oh, my goodness.
So obviously, if one dog food was formulated for all dogs, there'd be a lot of companies bankrupt and out of business right now. So that's really a objective, if you will, point to find what food's going to work best for your dog.
Mm-hmm.
And now with the advent of this raw feeding craze, if you will, it makes it even more simple, actually, because when you start talking about the quality ingredients like Neil uses in his products that you can find in a raw diet, of course,
mm-hmm.
obviously less grains, absolutely phenomenal choice. So just like anything else, it's more or less like, okay, what's my age of my dog to a degree? What's the breed of my dog? Okay, what symptoms are manifesting themselves? You know, do I have an eye problem, eye discharge, ears issues, and things like that? And that's how you start to make, you know, the choices dwindle, if you will. So what is hot right now, other than the raw diet, is, of course, these grain-free foods, those grain-free foods that are out there, and there's several to choose from. And
oh.
as far as I'm concerned, if you can't or decide you just don't want to try the raw end of the spectrum, you know, grain-free food is the way to go.
Oh, okay. Now, what are some of the pros and cons of the raw food diet for dogs?
Well, first and foremost, other than the obvious, there is no grains in a raw food diet, most of the raw food diets. There are a couple in there that interject some brown rice, but in general, when you find the multitude of raw food diets out there, they are grain-free. So in and of itself, that speaks very well for the food, because remember, dogs are carnivores. They have the digestive capability of maybe 5 to 7% dietary carbs in their daily diet. These dog foods that are out there now that are carbohydrate-driven, you're looking at 55%, Lisa. I mean,
wow.
What does that equate to, obviously? Tough breaking down the products that are inside that bag, which equates to possible eye problems, ear problems, anal gland skin issues and things like that. And then we could just talk about, well, once again, anytime you cook a food at 180 degrees or 220 degrees or what have you, most of the viability of the nutrients, the vitamins and minerals, is going to be compromised. That's where raw really shines.
Okay.
You know, raw is basically unprocessed and, you know, totally assimilable to the capability of each animal, of course.
Just a second.
Bailey, shush.
Sorry. Go on.
Bailey.
No, and like I said, that's the selling point, if you will, of the raw diet.
Oh, okay. So the dogs are hearing you talking about the raw diet, and they're like, why don't we get that? Now, are there some cons to it?
Well, that depends upon who you speak to. Unfortunately,
yeah.
you know, I go neck and neck all the time with a lot of the local veterinarians, but I have to say that lately we've seen a consensus with a lot of these vets actually saying, you know, there is some truth to this. And so, again, the cons are basically restricted to those vets who believe, well, wait a minute, you know, your dog is susceptible to Listeria or E. coli or
something. Yeah, that's what I was wondering about.
But, you know, in all actuality, though, Lisa, a dog's digestive tract has a pH, its stomach has a pH of about 1.2. hydrochloric acid is, you know, 1.0, that'll eat a hole through your car. No bacteria can survive in that dog's stomach.
And actually, dogs are not—they're not even susceptible to E. coli.
Correct.
Or at least salmonella, from what I understand.
That is correct.
Okay.
What I think their biggest concern is, and rightfully so, I do understand, is that okay, your dog just ate a raw chicken diet, for example, and then you have a little toddler go over and the dog kisses the baby in the face. Well, is there a possibility? Of course there is. No, is it remote? Absolutely yes. So, again, just like anything else, I say to people who wonder about things like that, listen, when you cook for your family, okay, do you wash your hands after you touch the food? Yes. You do the exact same thing with a raw diet for dogs. After the dog is done with their food, okay, you take the bowl up, put it in the sink, end of story. You don't have to worry about your child putting his or her hands inside the bowl and possibly absorbing, if you will, any of these bacteria. It's very easy, actually.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because one of the questions a woman had, her name is Natalie, and she's from New York, or Pittsburgh, and she said, I hear that giving your dog raw meat is actually best because of their intestinal tract, and it helps them live longer. And you just talked about, you know, the digestibility. And then this is really cute from Carol. She wrote, I eat baby food mixed with real chicken and veggies. I have a delicate tummy. My name is Cowboy. I'm a Chihuahua. That was really cute. Now, I hadn't heard that before. Baby food mixed with real chicken and veggies. What do you guys think about that?
It sounds perfectly logical.
No.
The only thing with the baby food, again, it's, you know, it's cooked at a very high temperature, and, you know, some of the nutrients that are in it have to be added afterwards.
Okay. Have you heard that before, Mark, about baby food?
I've heard that many a times, Lisa. And actually what they're trying to do is provide, you know, their pet with a complete and balanced diet. But the problem is that a dog needs 20 to 26 vitamins and minerals, of course, to be classified as a complete and balanced diet. And that's stated by the American Association for Feed Control Officials. It's the AAFCO. Our diet, I don't need to tell you, you're a CN, is a lot less vitamins and minerals for a complete and balanced diet. So actually the dog is not getting everything it needs based upon what that nice woman is trying to do.
Now, what would you recommend then for, I mean, it's a Chihuahua. I don't know how old it is, but it does have a sensitive tummy or delicate tummy. Maybe just doing the real chicken and veggies without the baby food or?
Well, you know, Lisa, there's a lot of complete and balanced raw foods out there right now, and a lot of people are not even aware of them. There's quite a few good companies. We are very honored to say we have, I believe, one of the best out there, a company called Animal Food Services. They're also nicknamed, if you will, Vital Essentials, out of Green Bay. Absolutely incredible raw diet. And they offer it in little niblet form, okay, for the small breeds. They offer it in a 2-ounce burger for your medium to large breed, and believe it or not, an 8-ounce for the giant breeds, or for that matter, any dog that wants to eat a larger burger, if you will. Absolutely phenomenal. And it's just like I mentioned to you off the air. You open the bag, you pour the food or you place the food inside the dog's bowl and enjoy. I mean, the dog just goes absolutely crazy. So it is that simple, believe it or not, to feed a raw diet. There's no longer the need for a customer to go into a grocery store and buy chicken and brown rice and broccoli and spinach and all these things and make up. If they want to do it, God bless. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot easier way to do it nowadays.
Now, one of the things in your book, Mark, is you talk about, you know, cooking some food for your dogs. I read the ingredients to my husband, and he was like, the house would smell so bad from their gas, we'd have to leave. I mean, seriously, and I was, you know, it's funny because Neil and Norman before the show, Mark and I were talking, and I said that we used to feed them Merrick, which has, you know, all natural stuff and everything, and the gas was horrendous, and I don't know if it's because they're 10 or what's going on, but he was like, you really want to give the dogs eggs? Are you cracked? And again, he's not, you know, he liked your book, but he was kind of like, what the heck? You know, eggs, broccoli, and fish oil, you know, so what can I, you know, I'm sure people are thinking this, maybe they don't want to ask, but what are you going to do for a gassy dog? I mean, don't all these raw natural foods kind of exacerbate that?
Well, in general, when you start talking about, you know, these foods that, like you just mentioned earlier, Merrick, which is a very nice company.
Yes,
definitely. You are talking about a processed food, as Neil so eloquently mentioned earlier. It's basically everything the way it's cooked. That is a fried food or a pressure cooked food. So unfortunately, just like anything else, you know, there's a wonderful, wonderful holistic vet out there by the name of Dr. Marty Goldstein. He wrote a brilliant book called The Art of Natural Healing. Absolutely phenomenal, The Nature of Animal Healing, I should say. And in his book, he basically said, listen, he says, you know, the best of the best to feed your dog is raw food.
Okay.
The next best would be home-cooked, and the next would be canned food, and believe it or not, the last, dried. So, again, what's he touching upon? He's touching upon how that food is processed and how taxing it is on the dog's system to break down that food.
Oh, so what my husband would think, obviously, hearing eggs or broccoli, he would assume, whereas, the, you know, it's the dry food and the way. Okay, that's really interesting to know.
Yeah.
So I shouldn't be afraid to try.
Food is hot. Absolutely not. It works marvelous.
Yeah. Now, Neil and Norman, do you guys have dogs? I'm assuming you must.
Yeah, I have the most adorable 8-pound Cavachon. She's actually sleeping on my chair right now as we speak.
Now, what kind of food does she eat?
Well, she actually, we've just started her on a bit of a raw diet. You know, the raw diet's only been around, I guess, it's really become popular, Mark, you would know, maybe in the last 5 years.
Dead on, and, absolutely correct.
Right. So my wife is just starting to experiment with the raw diet, but, you know, I guess I would ask you, Mark, because you are the expert, what your thoughts are on this, because I do get a little concerned when something is this new. I mean, I understand that this is sort of dogs have evolved from wolves, and so, but I do think that balance should be struck. So we're sort of weaning Maggie off of the kibble and onto the raw diet. And what is your thought about including some kibble in addition to the raw diet?
Oh, that's a great
question. You know, Neil, I tell my customers all the time, and the calls I get all the time, anytime you introduce a raw diet into your dog's diet, it's a home run. Okay, fed by itself, it's a grand slam. Little play on words there, but it really is apropos. So honestly, anytime you want to do that, it's a wonderful thing. And, you know, I need to also let everybody know, for that matter, you know, a lot of people believe that the raw diet has only been around for about 4 to 5 years. It's become very popular in the last 4 to 5 years. That company I mentioned earlier, Animal Food Services, believe it or not, started in the 1940s.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Is that
right? People don't realize that. And like I said, this is what I pride myself on doing, and this is why I wrote the book. So many people says, you know, Mark, you have all this information, and, well, this is what I do. You know, it's a carryover from my years of teaching. I was always naturally inquisitive, and I always wanted to make sure that my dogs, who are just not my dogs, they're part of my family, got fed better than I did. So I'm always, always researching to this day, continuing on, making sure there's nothing new coming out. And once again, you know, you get conflictory information all the time, and you have to remember, just like anything else, it's more or less trial and error for each dog. Some dogs might eat raw, and they just don't like it. It just doesn't agree with them. It happens. Okay, some dogs might eat dry food and live to be 16 years. I hear this all the time, and I say, God bless. Absolutely right. These things do happen. Hey, my boy JP, my first dog, died at 12 years old, which I thought back then was pretty good. I've had 11 dogs, all labs, in the last couple of years, and my oldest was 17. Chocolate lab by the name of Drake. Okay?
Wow.
He's been fed raw for the longest time. Is it a fluke? I don't think so.
Yeah. No, I'm definitely wanting to change over. I really do. And I wanted to, I have a question from Joan. She's retired. She's from St. Augustine, Florida. She has 3 small pups, all rescues. And she says that her 12-year-old Shih Tzu had a huge kidney stone removed due to too much calcium in his diet. Any suggestions for the best dry dog food for him? But now I'm thinking maybe she should go with the raw food. What do you think?
Well, once again, exactly, Lisa, because if you consider that even what the vets prescribe, these foods are carbohydrate-driven, okay?
Yeah,
when you're carbohydrate-driven, it changes the pH of the dogs internally, of course.
Okay.
So once that pH is changed, what happens? Stones, struvite or calcium oxalate or a combination thereof occur. The raw diet is perfect for that.
Okay.
Or at the very least, a home-cooked. Once again, good question. People need to be aware of it, and once again, most of the vets out there, they're not going to agree with this because, again, in defense of them, this is the way they were trained in their 4 years of schooling, okay? They were not required to take one course of animal nutrition, not one. So it's just like anything else. You know, you have to look at the good with the bad with everything. Certainly listen to your vet, okay? And then, of course, maybe talk to an animal nutritionist and see what he or she has to say. And then make an educated guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have another question from Jessica, and she writes about that her dog, that the food she used was so high in protein and oils that it can shut down the kidneys of dogs. If you can address that, is that something we should be concerned with?
Well, once again, and Neil, please interject anytime you want, buddy. Anytime you start cooking these foods, okay, in the fats, okay, or what have you, not knowing what kind of food she's feeding, so I have to kind of back off on that one. But normally most of the foods out there are fried.
Is it okay if I mention it? I wasn't sure if I should mention it or not. She told me what it is.
Please feel free, yeah.
Okay, it's Evo Ancestral. Is that?
Oh, there you go, Ancestral Diet. A wonderful company in Natura, a very, very nice company, like I said.
Okay.
Comparatively speaking, compared to the other dry foods out there, it is a very, very nice alternative. But the problem is, just like anything else, if your dog or their dog is susceptible to any kind of kidney problems, it's something you may want to consider backing off of and going to another grain-free food, believe it or not, that does not use as high of a protein fat or protein fat ratio. And there's a lot of them out there.
And then what about eating avocados? She said that one of her friend's dog died from eating avocados every day for 2 years. I know there's certain foods that dogs shouldn't eat. And
it's amazing what you hear out there nowadays. Of course, anything in moderation, just like for us, is not going to be that big of a deal. I mean, once again, I'm not going to say feed your dog onions or feed your dog, chocolate. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
But the general consensus is that there's companies out there that are actually using avocados as a clinical conditioner, and it's marvelous. It's absolutely
marvelous.
That's
what I would have thought. I love avocados.
Yeah. So once again, anything in moderation in regards to that situation is really not that big of a deal.
Okay. Now, Norman, Neil, maybe I don't know if you know about this, but they ask about flea control. Susie asks about flea control for brewer's yeast. Mark, if any of you guys have heard of that. I'd never heard that before.
I love what Neil did with his biscuits. Mm-hmm. He didn't put any of that in there. So, Neil, I'll let you elaborate on that one.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to turn that over to Norm because he is the mad scientist here at Wagatha's. All our flavors.
Yeah, we don't use brewer's yeast, but first of all, we make treats,
Yes.
However, we do some things in there that do repel, ticks and things. We have a little bit of garlic in some of the items we do. We have rosemary in everything that we do, and rosemary is a really good sort of tick and insect repellent. So those things, we sort of take the more holistic approach to that kind of thing.
Oh, that's true.
On what Norm just said, too, brewer's dried yeast has been upgraded as an allergen in dog foods. So you really should stay away from that product. People are misguided in thinking that brewer's dried yeast is the reason it repels ticks. But actually, the brewer's dried yeast is added to the garlic that they normally add in there. And the reason why they do that is because brewer's dried yeast is very palatable.
Okay.
It's a vitamin B. Dogs like it. A lot of dogs don't like the garlic. So they kind of like tweak the garlic, if you will, by adding the brewer's dried yeast, which there equates to there's a garlic doing its job. Oh, it must be the brewer's dried yeast and the garlic. Well, no, it's actually the garlic.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. To elaborate on
what you had said earlier, in our experience, too, dogs should be exposed to a rotation diet as well. Because there are certain elements. If you feed your dog the same thing every day, no matter what it is, there are going to be certain elements that are missing from their diet. There might not be in the proper levels. And also, you tend to build up allergic reactions to certain things. So, you know, by feeding, you know, a combination of raw and maybe do some homemade things, and, you know, by mixing it up a little bit, your dog's going to be a lot healthier.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I wish we had more time. There's so much we didn't get to. I was going to say I'd love to have you guys on, you know, quarterly, like every 3 or 4 months. And there's so many people that would, and myself included, would love to go more in depth with this. You guys could be like, you know, the dog guys, and come on.
I'd be honored to do that. That's never an issue with me.
Yeah, that would be great. You guys are all so fantastic. So Neil and Norman, tell us, how can we get your wonderful Wagathas? Like I said, I got them in Whole Foods, and they are awesome.
Well, you can find them in independent pet stores throughout, you know, everywhere. And if you're in an area where there isn't a store to go to, you can order them online through Wagathas.com.
Oh, terrific. And, Mark, how about you? How do people get your wonderful products?
Well, Lisa, thank you. Just like Neil said and Norm, you can certainly come to my store, Thomaston Feed, which is in the northwest corner of Connecticut. You could shop online at thomastonfeed.com. Also, if you're interested or if they're interested, they can call me if they have any questions they'd like to discuss. My phone number here is 860-283-9661. I do offer consultations, of course, and hopefully they get a chance, check out the book. I think they'll enjoy it.
That's a great book.
They'll learn a lot from it, and it is very, very easy to understand. At least I think it is, and I think you said it was, which
yes.
I do very much appreciate.
Definitely. Well, I want to thank you guys so much. And if people want to learn more about the show, if you have suggestions, if you want to come on, my website, it's yourhealthradio.org. I hope everyone has a great day. Give your dog some good raw food. Get some Wagathas biscuits in there and take care. Bye-bye. You guys